listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Peace, family. Hotep. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, should do, better do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know you got it done. Because it's about the end of the calendar year, the Gregorian calendar that we have. So it's the end of the year. You know, I don't like the fact that it's the end of the year and it's cold, you know. And it's going to be the beginning of the year next week when it's still cold. That's why, to me, I think the calendar should be like, you know, when there's birth, when there's things happening, that should be the beginning of the year. So it should be like April, you know, something like that, the month I was born in, you know, instead of January. But we'll talk more on that. You are listening to African Perspectives here. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives on timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion. Click onto that and then go to the archives. Programs are dated and titled. So, other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. All times they're going to give are Eastern time, so you make the adjustments accordingly. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 in the evening. Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 p.m. to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 p.m. to 10. Proof of Consciousness, Sister POC. Revive. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters. You know what time it is. It's with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening on Fridays. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Saturday Sports Talk. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., It Ain't Me. It is Sister POC, and her program, once again, is Revive. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on Sundays, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. And if you're in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall, and you can check them out and buy products right then and there. But go online and check out WeBuyBlack.com. I'm going to get my brother Bomani Tahembe in here to talk about AfricaForTheAfricans.org, your journey of a lifetime. Experience a vibrant African with a mixture of roots, culture, paradise, nightlife, shopping, networking, business, and investment opportunities for his upcoming trip in May of 2019. A two-week trip, probably cost about, I'm not going to put the cost, I'll let him talk about that. But believe me, it's definitely worth it. You can go online. So I'm saying you got to do it now so you can probably save a little each month. So by the time May rolls around, the trip will be paid for. It didn't cost you a big hardship, and you're ready to go to Africa. You're ready to go. And so that's AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or give Brother Tahembe, Bamani Tahembe, a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures from the previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video from the previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna Bookstore, Cultural Center and Bookstore, All the Gifts, Cultural Center and Bookstore, and they, of course, they have the African Holocaust Museum at the Shrine, located 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End. Number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676. They have books, furniture, clothing, artwork, you name it. They even have the red, black, and green shoes. If they don't have your size, they'll get them. They have Kwanzaa kits where you just set your Kwanzaa stuff up. Also, too, books. They have a history program every Saturday. Know Thyself, every Saturday, free and open to the public from 1:30 until 3:30. And it's a multimedia presentation by Brother Olatunji, an outstanding presentation. So check them out. And, of course, they have the History Club presents the Black History Multimedia Library, a digital resource of over 100,000 files on our history and culture, the most extensive cultural library of its kind, with over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. Man, you're going to need 5 terabyte external hard drive to get all of that enlightenment. Currently over 4.5 terabytes of enlightenment. I'm going to get it. I know I'm going to get it. Get me an external hard drive, and I'm going to get that. I got to have it. Got to have it at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Other bookstore is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. And there's Light in the Black Dot. And we're having Kwanzaa this Saturday at the Black Dot Cultural Bookstore, Cultural Center and Bookstore. We're having Kwanzaa. The guest I'm hosting, I'm blessed and honored to do so. And the keynote speaker will be Baba Mwalimu Baruti. Baba Baruti will be the keynote speaker. The Black Dot is located 6984 Main Street in Lithonia, 6984 Main Street. And the number to call is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. They have books, clothing, and they have the red, black, and green shoes there as well. If they don't have your size, they'll get them. They have slides and all kinds of good stuff. So check out the Black Dot and check them out next this coming Saturday for the Kwanzaa that they're having. It's an evening Kwanzaa, Saturday evening. So check that out. I'm going to go over some Kwanzaa happenings and talk about that again a little in the second hour of the program. Ulu, Us Lifting Us. The Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, which is the fourth principle of Kwanzaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. ULU has a radio broadcast every Thursday, 9 p.m. on Thursdays. And you can call at 929-477-2789. Just dial this number, 929-477-2789, to listen to the broadcast and, more importantly, get more information and become a member. Go to the website at usliftingus.com. Learn more about Us Lifting Us. Also, too, this is a cooperative. That means we pulled our monies together to create something for ourselves, and we created Cafe ULU in Atlanta, 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta, 2036 Sylvan Road. And our cafe is open Monday through Friday. Monday is open from 11 to 7. Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7. Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we sell coffee. That's right, brothers and sisters. We have Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenyan, and of course where coffee was originated, Ethiopian. We have some other places too that we have coffee from, Brazil, Panama, Nicaragua, Papua New Guinea, you name it. It's great. Check it out. Cafe Ulu. Go on Cafe Ulu website, CAFEULU, and become a member of Cafe Ulu. Everything that is sold at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. It is truly a model of the Nguza Saba. We also sell my good brother Novak Young, his vitality drink, Ambrosia. Ambrosia. All drinks contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. All of these things, the benefits, I'll talk about on another day, but because I'm going to get off into this program here. So those are my announcements, as I do every morning on the broadcast. And, of course, now is the time for Inye Sesim. Inye Sesim is the daily thoughts, daily revolutionary thoughts, compiled by Brother Mwani Mubarudi. And as I say, sometimes I look at previous days, particularly if there's something significant. And I know yesterday was the 23rd, and I like what Margaret Walker said in Baba Baruti's response. So we'll definitely read today the 24th and yesterday the 23rd. December 23rd. Let a new earth rise. Let another world be born. Let a bloody peace be written in the sky. Let a second generation full of courage issue forth. Let a people loving freedom come to grow. Margaret Walker. Conscious Africans understand that war is not about bringing destruction, as with Europeans. For us, it is about returning order. It is about the restoration of a balance which produces harmony. We must bring peace by disarming the disruptor. But because we've learned war through the eyes of destroyers, we do not conceive a social reality in terms of our framework of Ma'at. We neither conceive of war as a healing action nor recognize a warrior as being a healer. In fact, we, unlike our ancestors, see warriors and healers as diametrically opposed mentalities. We have allowed the connection between being a man of God and a man of war to be severed in our thinking. We have forgotten that our traditional priests led the army. Because we blindly and patriotically see European priorities as ours, we become oblivious to the fact that Europeans not only pray for victory at the inception of and during hostility, they also generally pray for war. Because we buy their propaganda, we do not see that they have never separated church and state. Like all other peoples of the world, we too must work to restore order to the African world. Let me repeat that. Like all other peoples of the world, we too must work to restore order to the African world. And if this requires bringing a bloody peace, then we must be courageous enough to bring a warrior spirit to bear on that choice. Affirm. I recognize that righteous war brings a restored peace. Affirmed. I recognize that righteous war brings a reordered peace. December 24th. Africa is our center of gravity, our cultural and spiritual mother and father, our beating heart, no matter where we live on the face of this earth. Dr. John Henry Clark. Bearings let individuals know their location. They point to where one has come from and if the same course is kept or altered, where one will, in all probability, end. Therefore, with respect to being African, to get one's bearing means to achieve a sense of balance in standing up straight, as well as knowing the direction from which one has come, is now facing, and should go. Again, as a people intent on being African, correct bearings tell us who we were, explain the mistakes that changed us into what we have become, and point us in the direction which will best move us forward in a revolutionary transformation. Knowing our story is the key to locating this empowering, re-Africanizing, nation-building force within us. It means knowing our mistakes, correctives, and accomplishments, especially in relationship to others we have encountered along our journey, and knowing it from our uncontaminated, undiluted center. Knowing our truth gives us empowered bearings based on African-centered hindsight, our past, insight, our present, and foresight, our future. Affirm, I know where I am and should be. Affirm, I know where I am and should be. In Yesesim, the Daily Thoughts. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I hope you've had a good weekend. And this is, of course, December 24th, Christmas Eve, which, of course, is pretty much a holiday as it is Christmas Day. Most people are out of work, off of work, most people. You know, the storekeepers, of course, now getting really busy because tomorrow is the day, you know, and many people who do last minute stuff thinking maybe they might get a deal or something. I don't know. You know, I know people used to buy a tree at the last day because, you know, especially now, man, Christmas trees are pretty expensive. Anywhere $50, $60, you know, for a thing that's going to, well, I mean, you know, whatever, you know. I think that, and you guys can help me out there in this conversation. Just give me a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. I'm going to talk in the first half here about Christmas, and then in the next, at the top of the hour, about Kwanzaa. Now, of course, I'm not comparing the two. They're truly different. Christmas, as it's been constituted, has been formulated, is a holiday. I mean, like, all things are created, because that's like, well, somebody said, well, Kwanzaa was created, and no, everything is created. Everything, brothers and sisters, is created. The theologies, no matter what the theology is, was created by human beings. We may subscribe a deity to it. We may subscribe some divine inspiration and some divine guidance. You know, we can do that. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is true. And for those in those religions, they were adamant that they are true. Because I think, once again, if you ever heard me talk about Christian religion, that's the thing I rail against, the fact that Christian religion purports itself to be historical. So then if that's the case, of course, then Christmas is historical. It is an historical, the birth of Christ is an historical event. How it happened is a historical event. And, of course, because in Christian religion, there's two things that are very important in Christianity: the birth of Christ and the death of Christ. Those two events must be historical. Jesus Christ, as a man, has to have walked the earth. Jesus Christ, as a man, has had to have been sacrificed. Had to have been sacrificed. These two events are seriously, for the Christian, historic events. And of course, I will always maintain, and there's people out there have been challenging Christians for decades, probably even longer. If it is true, prove to me. If it is true, show me the evidence. If it is true, bring something that corroborating outside of the Bible. Outside of the Bible, if it is true. Find that for me. But the reality is that, you know, it probably is not true. But, you know, it's just like I was talking to one brother who was a Christian, and he was adamant about his particular faith, and has, I guess you should be, but I was pointing out some of the historical inaccuracies, some of the contradictions, some of the fallacies, some of the hypocrisy within it. And of course, he didn't want to hear that, you know, and because I was explaining to him, I'm coming from a narrative of fact based upon historical evidence, based upon, you know, different historical information provided from different sources. Because one could argue, if I only get this historical information from us, which I would venture to say for me, the majority of information I get is from us. Because I consider us as African people, and those African historians and scholars and elders and ancestors to be my guide. But there's others that cooperate that. And so, to me, I'm coming from a solid foundation of fact based on these narratives. Now, of course, you know, they have a narrative of faith. It has been written, and you are to believe it. And then the concepts within it to worship that, you know. And I'm saying, I'm coming from a direction where I'm not talking about something. I'm coming from a direction. I'm saying, no, that's not it, you know. And so I come to understand, brothers and sisters, that for Christians, there is no debate. There is no argument, because there is no foundation that they're standing on that is historical. And so the question becomes to the Christians is this, and I've understood this. I'd rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. So I'll go ahead and continue on with all the lies, all the deceptions, all the false information, all the false history, all these pagan, this pagan, all the, I will go with that than to believe historically what truly may have happened. Because if I believe and it not be true, so what? But if I don't believe and it is true, I'm going to burn in hell. You know? I'm going to burn in hell. That's what they want to believe. And so my contention is that if that's what Christians want to do, but one thing becomes very clear to me, that the Christian theology is dominant in the world, even more so, even though Islam is still, even to this day, is still a more growing religion. I ain't saying rapidly growing, but a more growing religion than Christianity. And both of these religions are very hardcore patriarchal, very proselytizing. I mean, they go out to seek converts. I mean, obviously, they don't seek converts. Maybe they still do, like they did in the past, through intimidation, through the threat of death, you know, or just to be wiped out. I mean, maybe they still do. I don't know. But the reality is that these religions go out to seek converts. And, you know, when you consider what they have done in the name of religion, it makes. Let me have a. There's a caller. Let me have a caller. Take this caller. 267. Good morning, 267.
Hey, good morning, Brother Oshie. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Ralph? How are you doing this morning?
Man, I can't complain, brother. I just wanted to call in and let you know that I was listening to the program. And these things have to be repeated over and over again until we come from the sunken place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it really has to be repeated over and over. But, you know, I've learned since I've been enlightened about the holidays and everything, I really can't be what you call cankerous with it. You know what I mean? Like, you still have people around you that, you know, they're still stuck there.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, it's not up to me to irritate them and this, that. I just got to let them know if they ask me why I don't.
Right.
Now, on the same token, brother, to be honest with you, you know, I have three grandsons, children, and things like that. And the thing about it, I went to see my daughters, my grandson, and one grandson, he's 16, growing 17, so he's growing up there.
Right.
But, you know, I just put something in an envelope for him.
Exactly.
And just say, like, open it any day. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I know they need it.
Sure.
So just,
sure.
You know, my mother put it in an envelope for her because I know she need it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said, like, y'all can open it any day because y'all know I don't celebrate this.
Exactly.
Y'all can do
right
it.
Right on. I
you
like
know,
that.
And that's why I'm at, Brother Ocean. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. not just stepping on people
sure.
because they're still stuck.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's actually, like, you know, no, I care about y'all. I love y'all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I don't celebrate it. And they know I don't. Mm-hmm. But they all were very appreciative that I just got passed. And a little bit. I had a chance to see my grandson.
Sure.
That was it, man. Plus, I'm off today.
Hey, Ralph, that's a good thing. But, you know, I understand that because I'm pretty much the same way. In fact, I just keep it to myself because I know, you know, this is their belief. We've been trained in this. We've been, you know, beat down with this. This has been something, you know, that has been given to us or instilled in us or imposed upon us, whatever, and we take it. You know, we take it. Uh-huh. I mean, for some of our people, the Christmas holiday is the only time that they feel really alive, you know. But right. also, too, at the Christmas time, it's also the time to feel the worst because of the commercialization of it. Because let's be real. The real thing about Christmas is not the birthday of Jesus, because we do know. That is a fact that it is not his birthday. December 25th is not his birthday. That is a fact. If
right.
he lived at all, if he is truly a historical figure, which, of course, many people don't believe that either. But let's just keep it on this, is that they crafted the holiday around the birth of Jesus, supposed birth of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
But then, of course, these other traditions, these other European traditions were incorporated that. One thing that becomes very clear to me about the formation of Christian religion, whatever they have to do to further that religion, that's what they'll do. By that I mean, whatever uh-huh. traditions or concepts that you have, they'll incorporate that to get you. Because this used to be part of the Saturnalia celebration. In
the winter solstice.
Exactly.
The winter solstice.
Exactly. Because when they're uh-huh. charting... And, you know, we were the first to really chart the heavens and understood when things were going to happen because we had to do that, number one, particularly in ancient Kemet, because we lived on a river and rivers rise and fall. So we had to know when that river was going to rise and when it was going to fall. So when the river rose, we knew that was the time for us to start building temples and tombs and so forth. When the river receded, that's the time when we do our agricultural piece because outside of that little slat of the river on each side of it depositing black fertile earth is desert. So we understood
right.
that clearly that we got to make sure that we know when these things are going to happen, basically. Not to the exact moment, but basically when they're going to happen. Go ahead, Ralph.
Well, what I was going to say also, Brother Oshie, you know, the winter solstice, which means the death of the sun because the days got shorter. You know, think about it, death of the sun, the day gets shorter, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's you know, the whole thing, even when some of our people get too carried away with, about Haru and Seth and all this, it's all about the sun. You know, it's all about the...
Hey, brother, without the sun. Hey, Ralph, without the sun... Without the sun, this planet ain't happening.
You don't have no life. Now, the story of Jesus, and now I have a book, Brother Oshie, by, I think his name was Kersey Graves. It was called The 16 Crucified Saviors.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that story's been used over and over and over and over and over again. Krishna out of India, he had 12 disciples.
Sure.
He died and was resurrected. You know, there's so many stories.
And so
the story of Jesus was the last story,
and but yet,
that was indoctrinated on us.
Right, but see, that's the point, though. See, why are all of those fairy tales? Why are all those allegorical? Why are all of those myths? But yet the story of Jesus is historical fact. See, those other ones are myths. This is a fact. This is history. This is, you know. So you got to understand that. You know?
And another thing, Brother Oshie, I clearly shared with my family and friends on Easter about how Easter always falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon. And I know some of them went and researched it and looked at it and said, "Dad, there's a full moon."
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, that's why he was resurrected on this Sunday 2,000 years ago, because the first, but they can't, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they ought to know the whole thing is a lie.
Yeah.
Because
see,
lie.
I mean, it's just like right
it's
now.
Absolute lie.
It's just like right now, I'm talking to my good brother Ralph in Philly. I'm on this microphone. And there's listeners and so forth. And I have a heart attack. Bam! And I drop dead. 5, 10, 15 years from now, you might remember something. Listen, I remember when Brother Oshie, man, I remember it was Christmas Eve, 2018. Brother dropped dead. Bam! So why don't we have because we were recording dates back then. Why isn't there an exact date of death for Jesus? There is none, because it didn't happen. Or Easter.
Sometimes it's in March, sometimes it's in April.
Yeah.
It's after the first full moon of a particular season. And
yeah.
I can't really, but you know what? I heard you say plenty of times, Brother Oshie. Like, this thing coming up ain't the new year. You know, and there ain't nothing alive out there. Everything hibernating waiting to come out.
Yeah.
You know, our new year starts when the sun starts, the days start getting longer.
Exactly.
The weather stuff start growing on the trees. The animals come out from their caves.
Yeah.
The flowers start blue. That's our new year. I don't know what they're celebrating on Times Square.
Right. Wouldn't that be logical? Wouldn't that be logical to have a new year when things are blooming, when things are becoming new? You know, instead of the dead of damn winter. Yeah. See, so, I mean, you know, Stevie Wonder, that great visionary Stevie Wonder said it best. When you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. And we have been a suffering people because we don't understand what this Caucasian has imposed upon us and the world. And to the point that either you are so afraid, you're so scared, the fear in you is so deep that you dare not challenge it, you dare not question it, you dare not do something contrary to the dictates of what Christianity has done. And so until we break that, you know, and that's the tough nut to, that right there is a tough nut to crack. And see, I rail against it because of the three major religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all talk about us being cursed as African people.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know.
Balil was.
Yeah.
They, you know, I have Muslim friends talk about how Balil was the black man in the Quran. I said, well, you know, wasn't he a slave? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, wasn't Muhammad illiterate?
I mean,
what are y'all worshiping?
Yeah.
So, you know. I understand, man. Religion, and I'm talking about my experience with religion because I did that in a whole bunch
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of them. I've actually studied the Bible at a college. So I know what's in the book. Mm-hmm. I'm only talking about my experience. Jay was sort of surprised that when I said I was a member of the Nation of Islam. Mm. And what made me come out of that, and I, you know, was when I heard them, you know what I mean? They were proud saying, like, you know, Malcolm Little, we should dig him up and shoot him again. Yeah. But I said, wait a minute, how can you be talking about, you know, the black man is God and you worship Allah, but you want to dig up somebody's grave and shoot a man? And then when I saw the movie Malcolm X and they start recanting on all that verbiage that they were saying in those mosques, I said, wait a minute. So now y'all proving to me that y'all trying to hide your hands. Then Brother Oshie, y'all had the pleasure of looking at some of Khalid's videos. And man, let me tell you something. I said, man, he exposes that particular branch of
Islam,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
he exposes them big time, man, by not with his mouth, but by his actions and who he was as a man and what he believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And if that and that was how their belief system was. He quoted Message to the Black Man. He quoted everything that Elijah Muhammad talked about and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, he pointed out how the leader now, and I'm not even going to mention his name, was dib-dabbing in a whole bunch of different other things. So,
yeah.
You know. And
especially like Scientology. Scientology is brainwashing.
Oh, my God.
Man.
The guy said he is on them big time. Is he? Yeah. Man.
with his hey, Ralph, with his vulgar ass.
But you know what? Man. You can't. The man is telling the truth.
Yeah.
Just that he is vulgar. Yeah. And I think he's talking to a particular group of people that talk like that. I mean, Brother Oshie, we gotta see if that particular group that he's talking to listen to me and you, we're called too proper for them.
Yeah, well.
So he's getting the message across to that group that talks like that. And it's a lot of sisters. That talk like that too.
Well, I understand that. I mean, I understand because I'm in the city. I don't live, you know, and I work amongst. I'm with us. These are my people. I love us. I cuss too. You know, I mean, and I do. You know, but I recognize a time and place for everything. You know, and when I'm trying to impart some knowledge, some information based upon the scholarly research of our scholars and historians. I think I would do a dishonor and disrespect to them by all these flowery words. That's like, it's hard for me. I mean, I know I listened to that piece you sent me. You know, I listened to the whole thing, you know, and he references Doc Ben and he references, you know, Dr. Clark consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard, and I've had a lot, particularly of Dr. Clark, a lot of tape conversations and via Dr. Clark. And there's not one profane word that he makes.
Profanity. Yeah, no. They don't use that.
You know,
yeah, you're
because
right.
they were trying to appeal to a wider audience.
He's got to do a better job than that. He has to do a better job than that. I mean, that, to me, that's disrespecting the ancestors. If you're going to bring their name up while using that language and that term for our people, then you need not use their name if you have them in high respect.
Because
I agree with you there.
Yeah, because in the conference. In the constant reference of who is us as who we are as a people, the N word should be eliminated. I hate that word. I cuss, Ralph. I cuss. Believe me, I do. If you nobody knows me, I do. You know, but
oh, yeah,
I don't. But,
one slip out on me every once in a while. You know
but I
mean?
Don't. But yeah, but I don't use that word. I don't use that word to describe our people, and I don't use that other word to describe our women. You know. I don't use those two. Other words I might, you know, get a little flowery with, but the bottom line is that to me, regardless of how we use the language, is the message real? Is it being, you know, and that's what's important. And I know that for our people, it's very hard for us to deal with the truth. It is very difficult.
It is. That's why we got to be very careful the way we deliver the truth to them. I say that. I'll say, Marky, live the truth. Once you live the truth, then you'll be all right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you live the truth, I went to my people with love, dropped them off something. But tell them, y'all know I don't know Christmas trees.
Yeah.
No wreaths, I'm not about none of that.
Exactly.
And my family would vouch for me. I do that throughout the year. It's just not this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm off. I know what they celebrate. I know what they do. So, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They know I'm not about this.
Exactly. I mean, hey, for those that do, that's cool. And I just, I don't want to throw down on them like what you doing. It's pagan religion. So y'all enjoy yourself. Be safe. Family coming together. I used to say many years ago, if at this time of year that you are more respectful of human beings, that you are more enlightened, that you give and you are aware of those who have and have not, and it makes you feel, then that's a good thing. But I hope you would be that way every damn day, all year round, except at just at one time a year, 365.
Right.
That's what I would hope, because to me, we all know that this whole thing is not about the supposed birth of Christ, because they know that's not the reality or real, and definitely not historical. This is about the commercialization of a holiday to get money, because we live in capitalism, in fact, if they didn't have this holiday, they would have created something, Festivus or whatever the hell they would have created, something to make sure at the end of this fiscal year, there's something that you were going to spend your money on that we can move this economy. Because if it wasn't, it'd be stagnant. And so therefore, they had to do this. Because if you remember, the holiday itself was outlawed in this country because of the debauchery, the merriment, the drunkenness, the revelry, all of those things. It was banned. Christmas was banned, for a number of years in the 1600s because of all of this. And then, of course, it didn't become a national holiday until the 1800s, like 1850, 60, some shit like that. Excuse me. Something like that. So I'm not bad. But, Ralph, I'll tell you, I'm going to talk about Kwanzaa in the second half of the program, because to me, Kwanzaa is most
important. Which also, and Oshi, that's something else that I want to stress. Not only talk about Kwanzaa, but let's practice those principles.
Yes, that's what I'm pushing.
Let's practice those principles.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Let's practice them till we incorporate them in our daily lives.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's my message.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
So I'm going to go back on. Okay. Home. I know you got other callers.
Hey, Ron. Okay.
Hold on, Jay. It's Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to ask Ralph. Are you telling me, Ralph, that you're not going to be ho-ho-hoing and you're not going to be kissing under the mistletoe? You're not going to have your eggnog? What else? You're not going to have the tree in the house? You're not going to be giving out presents and receiving presents? So, what do you
do? Jay, let me tell you a reason why I can't even do that, even if I wanted to. I got a person in my household called a wife that I've lived with for a while. And let me tell you, that wife will say, wait a minute, are you a hypocrite or what? You done dragged me away from this stuff.
That's right.
You done dragged me away from this stuff, and now you going to do it? So, no, I have a person called a wife that will not allow that to happen.
The beautiful thing is, Ralph, is that the wife is in agreement with you. Sometimes some of us got other halves that ain't in agreement with that. So what you have to do is you have to isolate yourself, because you get in trouble when you don't go to that foolishness. Many years I had to go through that nonsense. You know what I mean? But, right. I mean, it's nice to around family. But one of the mistakes that we make is we only want to be around family when it comes down to holidays. Why can't you celebrate these same type of nonsensical things when it ain't nonsensical things? You know what I mean?
365 days a year. Yeah, you know,
it's just like crazy. So what happens is you're going to have a whole bunch of people get together tomorrow and just, and not call it, just BS one another. And I find it to be one of the most disturbing things in the world. Now, the good thing is that there's always one or two family members, if you got a nice group together, that by the time we get around 5 or 6 o'clock, you know, they done ate and they happy and they all of that, they gonna act a fool. So then you get your entertainment from the whole situation. You know what I mean? But in reality, it's a joke. I find it to be real, real pretense and BS. So, you know, I don't even celebrate it no more. I just don't go because, you
right,
know,
right.
You sit up there and you look at people who, number one, they don't respect one another. They don't really practice familyhood. And, you know, now they're just going to come together on this day to celebrate the Mexico Sky Day. That's the thing that really gets on my nerves. This whole thing about the Sky Daddy's birthday and all of that nonsense. I mean, come on, man. You know, what it really boils down to is to make the end of the year books for the cracker better, if they can.
That's what the bottom line is.
That's why I put stuff in envelopes instead of going to them stores.
No, I don't even do that no more. Because you can see, the thing is, it's amazing.
And Jay, look. I do that throughout the year.
Right.
You know what I mean? I do that throughout the year.
If somebody needs something, I give it to them. You know, if I can during the year, I'll help them out or whatever. But you know, the thing is, you got people who go into serious debt. I got a family member that he depended on his income last year to pay off his Christmas debt. I told him for what? You be giving family members gifts who talk about you not to pay. I mean, it's so bad that I had a cousin member take another cousin member to prove it to him how bad this person, you know, talks about him, and he going out there giving them nice gifts and all of that, loaning them money and. I mean, it's just craziness. But
I wouldn't go in there doing that. You know what? But I'll be honest with you. For my family, yes, I would. I would go. I would go in depth, and not for foolishness, but because they need. Yes, I would.
Yeah,
you know
I would
what I mean?
Too.
Because
that's
how much
too.
Love I have for my family.
Exactly.
I understand that clearly. But I'm saying is, I'm not trying to do anything to make white folks' position better in this country. And right. I think we get caught up in these type of things. And if you notice, it's always a holiday that's during the quarter period to make the books look better. Like, you got Valentine's Day, you got other days, you know what I mean? But if you notice, with every holiday, there's a big sale to try to... I mean, you know, capitalism is no joke. But I just wanted to have a good laugh with both of y'all.
All right, Jay.
OC, did you hear the show last night, OC?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I heard portions of it.
It's a wrestling
show. Brother West had one. I heard Brother West supposed to have his own program.
Right, on Blog Talk. Yeah.
Hold on. You telling me research? Research got a show on Blog Talk?
Yes, he does. I don't know what day and time, but yes, he does. He'll, I'm quite sure he'll listen. He'll call in and give us the information.
Brother Research got to call in and give that information, because I tell you, that's going to be a heck of a, A heck of a show. Oh, I can't.
I gotta hear this myself. I really want to hear Brother Wes express himself and bring the news like he said that we really need to get. But no, and before I forget the Easter is held on the first Sunday after the first full moon
right.
occurring after the vernal equinox.
Way to go.
Right, yeah. So that's why it's on different dates.
Right, and that's why it's a spring holiday.
What did you think of the show last night?
Oh, I can't really comment on it because I had some other things happen, so I didn't hear it in its entirety.
I heard it last night. Yeah. I heard a little bit of it, but my thing is, and I want to talk to the brother about it also. If you want to really know what violence is on the street, don't get some high school child. Get some of these brothers on the street. They'll definitely tell you why there's violence on the street.
All I could say is, how could I put this nicely? The young girl is a smart girl.
Very intelligent.
Very intelligent. But her historical analysis and her cultural awareness from an American perspective dealing with the interactions between the continent and here is very, very lacking. She hasn't read enough yet.
She's young.
I'm just saying, you know, that right there is, you know, somebody needs to really, really sit down with her.
Where is she from? Where was she from?
To know her into giving her the proper information to read so that she could have a better understanding and analysis of the culture of America and the interaction between the continent and here and how to broaden her perspective now that she's living in America.
Where was she?
Where
is she from?
The interaction of
both. Do you remember where the sister was from?
Yeah, she was from Northeast High School. She was a student from Northeast High School.
Yeah, but she was from Nigeria, right?
Nigeria? Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah, I was listening to her.
She was from a African country. She came here couple of years ago, and you know it's one of the things that I noticed from just dealing with some of the young people that come into America. Their whole perspective is totally different from an African American perspective of a girl, let's say the same age, that done study, that done been schooled in our culture. It's like, you know, in all truthfulness, most Africans that come here, in a lot of ways, depending on their family structure, incorporate some of the same behaviors of other ethnic groups, like the Chinese and things of that nature when it comes down to education. And we have to really look at it that way. Because the one thing I give credit to the Asians is the way that they educate their children to be, in a sense, successful academically. And then they put upon them also their culture. That's why they have these Saturday classes and things of that nature. So the perspective is a little bit different than the way that we educate our kids. Because I'll give you a quick example. The difference between someone that's in a cultural Saturday program and someone that's not in a cultural Saturday program but is also an excellent student is totally different. You know, you can hear it the way they talk. You can hear it the way they process certain information. It's like a kid that's in the top high school, that's an A student, and the same kid that's in the same high school that's an A student, but that's just falls to the culture, their perspective is totally different.
You know what, Jay?
Let's just see the word totally different.
Jay, I'm going to take a break here. And I would love for us to have this conversation on education and how and different modes of pedagogy of education that we need to look at, particularly for us as African people here in this country and elsewhere. It's vitally important that we need to talk about that and look at that, because you're right. But people who come here, who have their culture intact, who still speak their own language, do far better than what we do, because constantly we have been challenged and dogged out, even when we try to do our best, because this environment is hostile to us by intent.
Right.
But listen, I don't want to go further now. I want to take this break, and so I'll come back and talk about Kwanzaa. If you want to stay with me, please do. Okay?
Yep.
All right, Ralph.
All right.
All right, Jay. All right, my brothers. You're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And we're gonna take a break, and when we come back from that break, we're gonna talk about Kwanzaa and how important Kwanzaa is to be put into our everyday life. Just as Ralph said, emphasize and put those principles into your everyday life.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
And light in all our world. And I did it, so see how divine.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're once again listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific. Those are the times to be adjusted accordingly. Also on Monday, Acres of Diamonds. These are other programs that are on Time for an Awakening Media. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. And right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. This caller has been hanging on, 404-453-453.
Hey, Brother Ocha, how you doing? You hear me?
I can hear you well, brother. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm still learning, brother, and still making it in the matrix, man.
Well, you know, did you hear us when we were talking about you?
Oh, no, I didn't hear it, man. When was that?
We was all saying, man, we can't wait to hear your show on Blog Talk.
Y'all know about it, man. Y'all know about me, man. Oh, man. It's every Saturday night, man. You
every Saturday night? Saturday. Let me jot this down. Brother West's program on Blog Talk on Saturday night.
Yes, sir. Every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, man. And so I'm affiliated with a group called the Dry Bones Network.
Uh-huh.
Where me and some more brothers, we kind of going to help doing like y'all, the Elliot doing, trying to help the people out with solution how to survive in the matrix, man. So, I mean, I was like thrown into it, man. I mean, I always got some comments, so they say, well, they gave me a little form, man. So,
but what's the number to call on Saturday at 9 p.m.? What's the number to call?
You go to Dry Bones.
I tell you what.
I'm going to get the number of it. I'm going to get the number, man. Let me look it up.
You said your program is called the Dry Bones?
Well, my program called Brother Wesley and Sister Antoinette just discussing the news, what we see, what's going on, and we discuss what we see and try to help the family. We like to call us and call in and tell what they see, where they living, man.
Okay.
And it's all about sharing information and love, trying to help each other get through this, what we're going through, man.
Okay, well, one day you call back, make sure you call and give us the correct information. And we'll try.
I give you the number right now, man.
Go ahead.
Right now, man. It's two numbers.
Give me the number, Wes, that'll get me on your program on Saturday night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk.
Yes, sir. It's 626
626
626-414-3504.
Okay. I'll be announcing. I'm going to announce your program on this program here, brother. I'm going to announce Brother West's program, 626-414-3504. At 9 p.m.
Yes, sir,
on Blog Talk, on 9 p.m. on Saturdays, on Blog Talk, for
9
sure.
9 p.m. Eastern time, man.
That's right. Okay.
I appreciate that, man.
Oh, for sure.
I know about that, man. That's real love right there, man. I love y'all, man.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know.
We are trying to help our people get through this matrix, because we already know Celestial Radio is all bought and paid for.
Sure.
By these gatekeeper Negroes with all this Amos and Andy buffoonery, man.
Yeah, well.
Keeping people dumb and stupid.
Yeah.
And, man, I can't take that, man. That's why I love my man Scotty with Black Talk Radio Network, man.
Mm-hmm.
I love all his program, man. I love y'all, man, Elliot. And another thing, Dr. Rogers, I ain't been able to hear his program for the last couple of weeks.
Dr. Rogers take a little bit of a hiatus for a minute, but he'll be back around. In fact, I've got to go pick him up and get him out the house, man. Take him to Kwanzaa. Take him to Kwanzaa this week, man. Get him out the house, man. Doc's a good brother, man. Believe me, he is. But, yeah, he's still on Tuesdays. He's still on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock.
I've been trying to listen to him for the last 2 weeks.
Right. He hasn't been on the last 2 weeks. You know, and I asked him about it. So, but, yeah, he's going to be back on. So, yeah. So, Brother Wes, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir, man. And with this Kwanzaa, I know that Kwanzaa song you played a couple of days ago, man. That was a beautiful song, that Kwanzaa song. Man.
Oh, yeah. I got some nice Kwanzaa music. Well, the CD, this last song, which was Creativity, because I played them all, comes from the CD Seven Principles with Kwame Cobb and Shavin Dukkha. Shavin Dukkha's voice is just beautiful, man. In fact, the last principle, Imani Faith, is just a beautiful song and the way that she sings it, and I'll be playing that. I'm going to play that before I go off the air today, so give a listen to that, because I'm going to start back up on Wednesday with Kwanzaa Time and Umoja, since it's going to be that day. It's going to be, because Wednesday is the first day of Kwanzaa. I'm going to be also on radio on 1380 on Dr. F. Keith Slaughter's program, F. Keith Slaughter, 8 a.m. on Wednesday.
Yeah, man, when you going to be on that? When you going to be on that?
On this Wednesday at 8 a.m. talking about Kwanzaa, because he is a speaker for our Kwanzaa on Kujichagulia on Thursday. F. Keith Slaughter is one of the speakers. I'm going to do some rundowns of Kwanzaa's that maybe I might hit your ear, probably not. I'm going to talk about what I have on Kwanzaa from Milwaukee, Atlanta, and D.C. And if I had more, I'd give more. Just let the people know who are listening. Maybe somebody is listening from those areas, maybe not. Who knows? But, hey, we're going to do it anyway because that's what time it is. Just as Brother
that's
Ralph
right,
said.
Brother, you know what? We live in a time now, man, where people always talk about responsibility. But see, the way I look at it, my perspective is, it's not the stuff we've been doing, at least in my life, that hadn't been working. So it's not responsibility, it's the ability to respond.
Yeah.
They always flip the words around, and I'm not the etymology. And so let's do it, man. New stuff, new vibration, man. It's a new day.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole bull crap ain't working, man. So we got, instead of complaining about what we're going through, it's time for some new thoughts, new action, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and we all, like you say, we all are the Jesus and the God we looking for.
That's right.
I don't give a damn about these so-called leaders and sellouts, man.
That's right.
It's on them. It's on us now to make that change, man.
I hear you.
I love it, bro.
All right, my brother. Thanks a lot.
You on okay.
All right, continue to listen.
I got somebody to talk, man. I love you, man. I love
you too.
All my black people, man.
You
I
too.
Hey, black people,
hey, Wes. Huh? Bring your ass to the Kwanzaa on Wednesday so we can meet. I saw you on when you was on the little part they got you on Democracy Now. I saw that.
Oh, you saw that too?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, I get out there, man, when I have to, man, because I see you wrong. I try to write it, man. I'm talking about it. I feel about it. But,
right on. Well, listen, I'll be at Kwanzaa on on Wednesday, and then, of course, Thursday is the Kwanzaa that I'm co-hosting with Wadu and Brother Tut, and then I'll be at Kwanzaa on Saturday at the Black Dot Bookstore in Lithonia, and the keynote speaker is Baba Mwalimu Baruti, and I'm very honored and privileged to be with him.
You pop up,
okay? All right, Brother Wes. All right, thank you. You too, dear brother. Peace to you. All right. Just as Brother Ralph was saying, and I emphasize consistently the principles of Kwanzaa, I don't get too much into the debate about Kwanzaa. I remember I mentioned this on the last program, and I want to thank for this past Friday's program with Sister Akina and Brother Basir Mchawi. Sister Akina is here in Atlanta. Brother Basir Mchawi is out of New York. And these individuals have dealt with Kwanzaa almost since its inception. And Sister Ikena brought to our attention Queen Mother Kwanzaa McKenna, Queen Mother McKenna, who helped spread Kwanzaa. And, of course, Bashir and all the work that he has done has a putting a PowerPoint together, because there were more people who were instrumental in developing of Kwanzaa than Dr. Malala Karinga. You know, in fact, he went to prison right after Kwanzaa was, you know, being initiated in 66. And so others picked up the mantle. And, of course, Kwanzaa is a celebration. And somebody said, well, that's a made-up holiday. Damn it, all holidays is made up. What you're going to experience tomorrow is made up. Everything is made up. Every religion, every holiday, every government, everything is made up. All institutes are made up by people. Whether they're good or bad or indifferent, it depends upon who made it up, how it's going to be implemented, and what's it all about. But in terms of human beings on this planet, we make it up. Now, we might say it was divinely inspired. You know, many people want to say that about the Bible and its multiple translations. People say that about the Quran. You know, they say that about the Torah, the Talmud. They say that about the books of Buddha and Krishna. The reality is this, family. In a world that we live in today, as evil and chaotic as it is, what I hope and pray for is African redemption in the midst of all this madness, in the midst of all this craziness that goes on the continent and throughout the diaspora for African people. My hope and my prayer is that African people wake up. Purge ourselves of all this ignorance, all the superstition, all the bull tribalism, all those other things that divide us, to come together. You can still have your customs and your traditions, but one thing should be clear for us, that we are African people. Malcolm said it best. I know if I come to the table talking about how to work for African people, if I talk about Islam, there's going to be issues. So I'm going to keep my religion, which is, you know, my belief. I'm not going to try to proselytize. I'm not going to try to impose. I'm not going to try to convert, because that's not what I'm there for. I'm there for to find out how can we work together as African people, regardless of the theologies we have, the political philosophy we have, the education, or any other damn barrier that we might think we have, to come together so we can do for ourselves. Create a world we all can live and love freely in. That's why the Kwanzaa principles are vitally important, regardless of who brought it. That's why we must instill in our lives umoja, unity, kujichagulia, self-determination, ujima, collective work and responsibility, ujamaa, cooperative economics, nia, purpose, kumba, creativity, imani, faith. Put those principles in our everyday life. I'm going to speak on something, how that can be transformative. But let me go right here right quick to a sovereigntist interpretation of the Nguza Saba given to us by our dear sister, Dr. Marimba Ani, Mama Marimba. She sent this out again, and I've had this for the last couple of years. She says that an African sovereigntist interpretation, because we need African self-governance. We need sovereignty. We need African self-governance. Umoja, unity, the Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world, joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and to build an African world order. Kujichagulia, self-determination. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign people. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. African people working together, being responsible to and for each other, and accepting a common system of accountability. Ujima, family-centered economics, cooperative economics, cooperative bases, and the concept of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and community, national and global African unity. NIA, purpose, African people sharing common goals that determine our commitments and guide our choices and decisions. This gives purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we were born African. Kumba, creativity, to think with the African minds and to create from our African center. When we practice this principle, we no longer imitate non-Africans. We make our own way. Imani, faith, to believe in the vision of African sovereignty and to have the passion and the will and the heart to bring it into being. Ashe, the African interpretation, a Pan-Africanist interpretation of the Nguza Saba. And to me, that was the most important thing, of putting that those principles in our everyday lives. Yes, the whole idea of December 26th to January 1st, and the symbols, the Mkeka, the mat, the Kanara, the Shumasaba, the Kakumbe Chayomoja, the Bandari, the Zawadi, all of these things are beautiful. But what's most important is the principles of unity. That's why, to me, Kwanzaa is the most important holiday in the lives of African people. Kwanzaa is the most important holiday, more than any commemoration or anything else. Because what Kwanzaa does is brings us to who we are. It tries to help center us. It tries to help us understand the importance of being African. And to begin to move from that particular point to self-determination, to collective work and responsibility, to sharing our monies and resources with one another, to develop the trust and commitment and have the integrity. Kwanzaa is vitally important for us. I remember I was on a panel. I was on a conference call with my good brother, Claiborne Benson in Milwaukee. He has been keeping Kwanzaa alive for decades for our people. Since the late 70s, early 80s, he was one of the first. I know a few other places that had a community-wide Kwanzaa, but he's the one that has, since he started it, he is continuing to all the way up to this date. In fact, the 26th is the first day of Kwanzaa, and they'll be having it at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. Brother Claiborne Benson and his daughter, Jamila Benson, do an outstanding job. And we were talking because there was a congressperson in Wisconsin who was lambasting, I mean, just dogging out, particularly because of Milana Karinga and his issues that he had. And so, therefore, this man who's had all these issues cannot bring forth this, and this shouldn't be legitimized. And then he had a Negro, and I mean a real Negro, Jesse Lee Peterson. And there's a lot of Negroes, y'all, but that is what it is, you know. But Jesse Lee Peterson, and he's slamming Kwanzaa, you know. And so me and the brother defended it, you know. And I will defend the concept of Kwanzaa in spite of though the individual who is alleged to have brought it. Because just because he brought it doesn't mean it is his. It is not his. It is ours. Kwanzaa is for the benefit of African people. Now, I know, and you may know, that you know, he might have benefited from it personally, monetarily, Karinga. And if he did, so be it. But the fact of the matter is it is here and it is ours and we must embrace it. And more importantly, we must deal with it. In fact, let me go through this right quick because I know the time will get away from me because I do want to announce some of these Kwanzas that are happening, especially the Kwanzas here in the Atlanta area at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. But I will never forget, I was talking about Kwanzaa, teaching it to the young people I was working with in the schools. And one of the young persons brought it to my attention because I was going to talk about how we can, you know, make this transformation. And the young person said the number 13. And I know I talked to them about the number 13, you know, in terms of it is the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle. 13 begins anew. So then the question became, how can we instill these seven principles into our everyday lives, as I'm constantly going to be talking about, and how can they transform ourselves? How can these principles really make a vision and a reality for African people? Seven principles: Umoja, unity; Kujichagulia, self-determination; Ujima, collective work responsibility; Ujamaa, cooperative economics; Nia, purpose; Kumba, creativity; and Imani, faith. All of those things, all of those principles. I mean, even the seven principles of Ma'at, of truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, and balance are just as important. But let's just deal with these Kwanzaa principles. So you have seven. I said that the number 13 is the number of transformation. How many colonies? Because, see, you got to understand, these Caucasians who came and took this country, I ain't talking about Puritans. I ain't talking about no damn pilgrims. I'm talking about the crackers, those who are in control. I'm talking about the so-called founding fathers. I'm talking about these Caucasian men who were deists, these Caucasian men who were masons, who had knowledge that is ours, that they subverted for them and utilized for themselves. Okay? So why did they establish 13 colonies? Why not 10? Why not 12? Why not 15? Why? Because the number 13 is the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. They understood that. That's why the city of Memphis is on the Mississippi River, like the city of Menifee is on the Nile River. They wanted to produce here what we done there thousands of years ago. They wanted to create here. That's why the Tekken or obelisk in D.C. is the symbol that no other building can even be taller than, 555 feet. It is an African symbol, the Tekken. And there's other, I mean, especially in the D.C. area. That's like, that's why Brother Anthony Browder wrote that book, Egypt on the Potomac, where he constantly points these things out because these people were masons. So the African influence is profoundly, undeniably present or there. So, on the dollar bill, the number 13 is repeated 13 times. 13 stripes in the eagle's breast, 13 olive branches, leaves on the olive branch, 13 arrows, 13 feathers in his tail, 13 steps in the pyramid, 13 letters in E pluribus unum, all kind of 13, the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. How many jurors on a trial? 12 jurors. Plus the judge, 13. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12 plus Jesus, 13. How many signs in the zodiac? 12 months plus the sun, 13. You follow me here? Because the number 13, they wanted to impress upon you that the number 13 was a bad number. No 13th floor on some hotels, no 13th row in some airlines. Friday the 13th, bad. I think it was a stock market crash, something like that, Black Friday, something like that. So the number 13 was giving a bad name. Or I like to say trestidicophobia, which is the fear of the number 13. Trusted Jacobophobia. So then how, you know, King Arthur. King Arthur had 12 knights. King Arthur was not real. King Arthur was fiction. King Arthur had 12 knights at the round table looking for the Holy Grail. Plus King Arthur, 13. So how then can we put this number 13 into our daily lives to transform us into the people that we must become for our sanity? No, for our very lives, for our very existence as African people. The number 13, the number of transformation. How can we put that number? First, let's start off with seven, the number seven. The seven principles of unity, self-determination, collective work responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. You got seven? Hold those seven. Add to the seven the five C's. The first C is consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are as a human being, who you are as an African, who you are as a man, as a woman. Consciousness. Consciousness. The next C, because you have that consciousness, you have courage. You have courage. You feel good about who you are. You know you can meet challenges. You have courage. And because of that courage, you have confidence. Confidence, not cocky, not ego tripping. No, you have confidence. You know you can get the job, the promotion. You know you can do whatever is put in front of you. If given the time to study and do it, you know, because you have confidence. And because you have consciousness, courage, and confidence, you develop a conscience. Conscience. Knowing what is morally right and wrong and doing what is right. Standing on principle. Standing on integrity. I don't have any money. Brother Oshie don't have no money. But what I do have is my name. And if you go to Milwaukee or now even here in Atlanta, in the conscious, so-called conscious community, and they say, you know, Brother Oshie, you know, say, yeah, it's a good man. He's a good brother. He's a man of his word. He loves his people. He loves his family. He loves his community. He loves Africa and he loves Africans, and he stands on it. He stands on principle. By that, dear brothers and sisters, when you have conscience, knowing what is morally right and wrong, and standing on principle, standing on integrity, and doing what's right, then you will do what is right when nobody's even looking. Conscience. And the last C, conviction. You may not, you know, finish school the year you want. You may not get the job right then and there. You may not do whatever it is that you want to do right away. But because of your conviction, you will persevere. You will challenge and overcome all the roadblocks and detours and pitfalls that are put in your path because you have conviction. So now you have those seven principles of unity, self-determination, collective responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith, and you add it to the seven, the five C's of consciousness, courage, confidence, conscience, and convictions. 7 + 5 = 12, plus you, 13. 13, brothers and sisters, put into our everyday lives to challenge us to be the best who we can be. That's why this Kwanzaa season and every Kwanzaa season since its inception is so vitally important, and not just to celebrate it at this time. That's the focus. Yes, I understand that. But to put those principles into our everyday lives. So after January 1st and all through 2019, particularly this year of 2019, which is a very critical year, that means 400 years that we have been in this madness. And the question that we need to say is, where do we go from here? What is our move now? We have been begging. We have been pleading. We have been voting. We have been boycotting. We have been doing hell with that. Let us move to reparations. Let us move to repatriation. let us move to African people coming in to their own, controlling their resources, controlling what they have, controlling their people, becoming players in the world instead of the pawns that we is. The Kwanzaa's happening, of course, in Milwaukee. And I love Milwaukee. I don't really miss it, but I was born there. But I love the Kwanzaa in Milwaukee with Brother Claiborne Benson at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. Historically, he has had the first day of Kwanzaa. So this Wednesday, it'll be at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society on 26th and Center Street. Then Kujitakalia will be at the Milwaukee Collegiate Academy, and Brother Ajumu Butler is going to be hosting that. And then Friday, Ujima, Collective Responsibility, is going to be Africans on the Move. Brother Dr. Ahmed Mbalia, who's an ancestor now, his group, Africans on the Move, and his wife, Dorothea Mbalia, she's going to be hosting, and that's going to be at the Wisconsin African American Women's Center on 30th and Valit Street. Then Saturday, the 29th, Ujamaa Cooperative Economics is going to be Heal the Hood, Brother Ajumu Butler. Heal the Hood, that's going to be at the African American Women's Center. Then also Near Purpose and Brother Reuben Hopkins with the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce, and they're going to be hosting. It's a youth night from 6 to 10, youth night at the African American Women's Center. And then Monday, Kumba Creativity on Fire, O-N-F-Y-A-H, on Fire, on Fire. That's a drumming and dance group, African drumming and dance group, with one of my young men who I have a lot of love and respect for, Brother Yomi. And that's going to be that Monday the 31st, creative dancing. It's a recital. So On Fire, African drumming at the Wisconsin African American Women's Center. And then on Tuesday next week, January 1st, the Kamaru Ye Imani, and that's going to be the closing ceremony also at the Wisconsin African American Women's Center on 30th and Valit. And that's the Kwanzaa for Wisconsin. The Kwanzaa for D.C., and they had a nice booklet out. Man, I'm telling you, I got this when I was in D.C. For the Chemetamorphosis. And so on Wednesday, there's a number of places. I'll just point out the Union Temple Baptist Church. Union Temple Baptist Church is celebrating First Day of Kwanzaa, Umoja, with cultural presentations by Dr. C.L. Gibbons. Cultural arts presentation and spoken word and drumming circle. And there's the pastor's Reverend Willie Wilson in D.C. And the church is 1225 W Street, Southeast in D.C. The mission is free. Kujitakalia, candle lighting celebration by the Alcerset Society on the 27th. And that's going to be at the point is where, and that's going to be at Northeastern Presbyterian Church, 2112 Vernon Street in Northeastern D.C., Vernon, I don't know. Sounds like it to me. Okay. Also, to understand that the Union Temple Baptist Church will have Kwanzaa for all 7 days, but these are some of the places outside of that that are having a Kwanzaa celebration and in the D.C. area. And there are others. And so, they, like I said, they put together a nice particular book right there. And then the Kwanzaa celebrations right here in Atlanta at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And there are other places here in Atlanta that'll be celebrating Kwanzaa. Other groups will be celebrating. But on Wednesday, my good sister, Queen Ali, she will be hosting the opening of Kwanzaa, Umoja, at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Keynote speaker is Reverend Sandy Rogers from the Sandy Rogers Ministries. And there were other guest speakers, Linda LeBoyd, a founder of Reiki Vibrations, Naomi Love, founder of the Core Total Body Salon and Wellness Spa, thing for the sisters on the first day of Kwanzaa. and that is at the Shrine of the Black Madonna from 6 to 10. The next day is the 27th, Kujichagulia, and that's the day that the World African Diaspora Union, WADU, and the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, ASCAC, will be hosting Kujichagulia. My good brother, Brother Tut, myself, will be hosting and moderating, and I'll do the libation, and we have a number of great lineup. The Us Lifting Us band, the band that comes down to Ulu and jams, they're going to be playing. We got some spoken word. We got some storytellers. We got a lot of good stuff going on. I'm very excited about it. Our speaker is Sister Charlotte Williams out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the Reverend Dr. F. Keith Slaughter from his program on WAOK Radio here in Atlanta, 1380 AM. And if you have care to listen to this program, if you have tune in, just go to 1380 WAOK FM and you can download his or program that you, if you have tune in. And so that'll be Thursday. On Friday, Gangsters to Growers, Brother Henderson, Executive Director of Come Up Project, and they'll be hosting from 6 to 10. Gangsters to Growers is a good program. I had an opportunity to speak to that group, and good young men and women who are former gang members and who are learning to grow food and learning to be more productive. And so that collective work responsibility, that's what that's about. On the 29th, UMOJA, Cooperative Economics, it's going to be at the, once again at the Shrine, and there'll be a program from 12 to 2, with a youth activity in their cultural center. And then from 2 to 6 will be their Kwanzaa on that Saturday from 2 to 6. And it's co-hosted by the Atlanta Support Group 9, PAOCC. And their speaker will be Felicia Moore, who is the council president. On NIA Purpose on Sunday, you have co-sponsor Mose Benobe of the Beulah Land Farm presentation, who will be the keynote speaker, and they're hosting. And that's all the information I have on that on Sunday. And then on Monday, Creativity, co-hosted by Moshe Benobe. And the speaker will be Mwalimu Olatunji Lumumba, the African historian at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, Brother Olatunji from the Shrine of Black Madonna. I'm quite sure he'll have an outstanding presentation. Well, he got all that information, man. Almost 5 terabytes of information and graphs and so forth. And because even when I went to the meeting and stopped in on this class, it was nice, man. I'm telling you, he didn't have a lot of people. He had about 12 people. That's pretty good on Saturday afternoon. And it's free, open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30 at the Shrine every Saturday. And then on Sunday, on Tuesday, Imani Faith. This will be hosted by Social Action Committee. And it is a Pan-African faith panel. The Pan-African Orthodox Church, the Nation of Islam, First African Church, and Sankofa Church. And so you have Bishop Randy Brown, Minister Louis Muhammad, good brother, Dr. Dr. Lomax, and the Reverend Derek Rice on the panel for that last day of Kwanzaa. And so check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Yep. I've been harping on the principles, and I know we didn't talk too much about what Kwanzaa is and how it's celebrated and the symbols. Let me say this. It's just like libation. There's no set way to do it. There's a framework, but if you can do it your way, let me say this, and being respectful and trying to get the message across and the feeling across, that's what you do. It's just like I told a sister, I said, you know, man, you don't have to have the whole setup. You don't have to have, I mean, you try to improvise as much as you can. If you don't have the 7 candles, get 3 candles, 1 black, 1 red, and 1 green. You know, get a straw mat. If you can't find one, get something similar. If you don't have the canara, you know, if you don't have the fruits, the mazoho, you know, or if you don't have the mahindi or vibhunzi, which is the ear, mahindi or vibhunzi is the ears of corn, you know, that represents children. Improvise. Do whatever you can. You know, if you have a Kukumbi Chaya Moja and it's wood or it's metal or it's glass, beautiful. Because how you, the way you can do it is your expression, as long as it's in concurrence with what's happening. You know? Because like right now I'm looking at that stamp, that first Kwanzaa stamp that came out. And I was at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society with Brother Claiborne Benson and Milana Karinga and his wife, well, one of his wives, the one he travels a lot with, who used to have that big black fro, and now it's a big gray fro. Yeah. And they unveiled it, the stamp, and the flag was black, red, and green. The flag was black, red, and green. And Karinga's answer to that, well, that's the US flag. Well, that's the US flag, but it's about Kwanzaa. And Kwanzaa is not about the US organization. Well, anyway, so that's what's happening with Kwanzaa. Let me do something here, because I just want to get this in. This is a beautiful song, and I'll be playing the Kwanzaa songs throughout. Let me try to find that for you right quick, because it's a beautiful song. And Chavin Duke is just a beautiful voice, man, I'm telling you. She really does. She has a beautiful voice. This is the song on Imani. So I've played all seven principles, because I played creativity. So, and this is Imani, the power of faith. This is Kwame Cobb and Chavin Duke.
The moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith in our hearts when it seems that our lives are falling apart? Dreams from the night follow me when I
Kwame Cobb and Chavin Duka from the CD, Seven Principles. Love them. Beautiful, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, enjoy the holiday season. Enjoy your family tomorrow. I hope everything is peaceful and beautiful for you and your family. Celebrate Kwanzaa. But more importantly, instill those seven principles in our everyday lives, because that's what Kwanzaa is all about. That's why it's the most important holiday for African people. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, enjoy yourselves. Be with us back on Wednesday, the first day of Kwanzaa. We'll be back. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, go in peace. Asante Sana, thank you. Abibi Fahodio. Abibi Fahodio is our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodio family, peace.